You are listening to Through the Funnel, where we demystify classical Chinese medicine and reveal how Eastern and Western medicine work together in health and healing. I'm your host, Mallory Jaimo, and this is episode 16. Hi, welcome. Today I am joined by Kelly Tooman, a survivor of HER2 breast cancer and author of the blog Beyond Pink America. Kelly and I met when she sought guidance and treatment shortly after her HER2 diagnosis. Thank you, Kelly, so much for joining me here today. I'm really excited to have you share your healing process with us.
So great to be here. And you were such an integral part of my healing, Mallory. So thank you for having me.
You are welcome. So let's jump in because we have so much to talk about, not just from your treatment, but also what we did, food therapy, the use of stone medicine, acupuncture, herbs. I mean, you did all of it. You were so open and available, which I know was a huge part of your healing process. So tell us, why did you bring alternative treatments into your healing process?
Well, to answer that, I'll start a little bit from the beginning. I come from a family of pioneers in the fact that I have two grandmothers who were outspoken in a lot of ways, went against the grain. One of them was an advocate for bringing back breastfeeding at a time where it was taken away in the hospitals. She was a pediatric nurse. The other one was a crusader. So it's part of my DNA to kind of dig deeper. And so when I found out that I had HER2 positive invasive ductal carcinoma, which is a horrible word that can keep you up at night. The diagnosis was 4 tumors in the right breast, and it had spread to the lymph nodes. So it was considered an aggressive cancer. Like anyone, I was totally shocked and terrified. A lot of sleepless nights and scary when you're faced with your own mortality. That was a lot of things that I had to go through alone. Even though there were a lot of people in my life, that's something I think that you just process on your own. That being said, when I was told that, I had the sadness and I left the surgeon's office beyond livid. And I knew enough about health and the body and cancer to know that food and alternative medicine were huge parts in healing. And the first thing I did was go to the bookstore. It went into Barnes & Noble, randomly picked out a few books. And one of them was Cancer Free with Food by Liana Werner Gray, which was my go-to Bible. I knew that food was medicine. I knew that I had a huge part to play in my healing if I was really going to get well, and I was not going to turn over all my decisions to the medical community. And that feeling of being empowered and knowing that I was a crucial component of my healing is why I believe I healed so fast. Although I had sadness like anyone else, I never that I can remember felt sorry for myself. I knew that cancer came to heal me in a lot of ways. I had a lot of unprocessed emotional trauma from my childhood, growing up in an alcoholic home, things that carried on into my adult life, perfectionism, high levels of stress, a not intimate relationship with myself. And I knew that these were all contributors to cancer. Before, and this is one advice I want to give to people, Western medicine tends to push you very quickly into treatments. And even with the aggressive cancer that I had and all of those tumors, I took weeks off before I started anything. And I knew that I had to seek alternative practitioners such as yourself. And I had to get my body ready for what I thought at the time I was going to do chemo, which that's another story I ended up not doing.
A story that I love. There was a lot of passion behind your voice when you talked about food therapy and that being the first place that you started. And I know with you and many of my other patients, they come in with, this wasn't necessarily your case, although we did talk a lot about supplements, but they come in with like these bags of supplements, or they've been to these functional medicine doctors and they're, you know, have all these supplements. They don't know what to take. They don't know what's working. And the number one thing that I know I said to you, and I say to all my patients, the first place that I like to start is with food, because it's what we all do.
Yep.
So share with us the things that you did, what you felt helped the most. I know that you have a blog post at Beyond America, or Beyond Pink America, excuse me, .com. Talk about that a little bit.
The first thing I gave up immediately was gluten, dairy, and sugar, like immediately within one day. I was a big sugar eater. And when I say like good sugar, I mean, I wasn't eating bowls of Fruit Loops, but I had what I called a lot of treats. I mean, I indulged in sugar, and sugar is part of what feeds cancer cell growth. It's one of its fuels. Dairy and gluten are inflammatories, and any kind of inflammation in the body, as you know, is a precursor often to disease. So we're lucky that we live in a society now where there's so many alternatives. Like, I could still have treats that were almond, you know, made with almond milk or almond flour, which is not inflammatory. Like I said, cancer-free with food was a huge eye-opener in terms of like cacao powder and cruciferous vegetables, which attacks cancer stem cells, which are the root of all cancer, which is what chemotherapy doesn't always get to. And I know one of my most important parts of working with you, Mallory, is that we talked a lot about building an army, and building an army, a strong army in the body that fueled the immune system. And I know I met with you once a week when I was, and sometimes twice, and when I was going through those initial first 5-6 months, you helped me a lot to build immune system. You have to keep your immune system strong. And even more importantly, if you're taking chemotherapy. And I met with a woman who has really serious cancer. And I said, what are you doing to eat well? My doctor gives me some kind of like stimulant for health. I don't even know what she was talking about, but nothing to do with food, nothing.
When you and I first started working together, one of the things that I really encouraged you to do was to not eat raw.
Right.
Or to eat a very minimal amount of raw. There's this notion in any sort of disease that part of the therapy is to eat raw, to go vegan. And that is not what our body thrives off of. Putting in cold, damp foods that are not quote unquote pre-digested, like cooked foods, really put more stress on the system than anything else in regards to what we're taking in. And so advising you to eat warm cooked foods like soups and broths, and, you know, even if you wanted something raw, to just warm it up a little bit, like steam it, break it down, because you are in such a weakened state when we're sick. Even if we have colds and flus, it's like, think about it. Are you going to want something raw? No, probably not. You want like a warm chicken soup. And the type of treatments and the state that your immune system was in, it needs help. It needs assistance. And even the simplest thing of cooking your food down and eating kind of bland and not throwing in a lot of components and spices and very mixed meals is really helpful. And then I remember you're doing that for quite some time and the season changed.
Yes.
And you said, you know, I just really want salads. Can I have a salad? And I said, yes, the seasons are changing. It's getting warmer outside. So when you eat in accordance with the seasons, you know, warm foods in the winter, in the cooler months, and then more raw foods or a moderate amount of raw foods when it's warmer outside, that helps to cool the body down too. And you were thrilled about that because intuitively, and that was another thing with really great thing working with you was your intuition. Intuitively, you were listening to your body and you might not have known why, but you were allowing that information to come. And so eating with the seasons was something that we did and was really important in helping your body with your immune system.
And it was so helpful. And when I look over my notes with you and that I took during that time period, and also I didn't realize that eating raw food took so much energy from the body to digest. And that was the biggest takeaway that I remember, because your body needs all the energy to fight what it's going through. And I can't tell you enough about how working with you empowered me to follow my own voice, because when you're taking a path that's very different, you're up against the medical community, you're up against your family members, you're just taking a different path. You know, you constantly reminded me that the body knows how to heal. The body knows what it needs. Listen to your body. And I cannot thank you enough.
Yeah, I can't stress that enough for anybody, even when, again, you're healing from something that's so simple, like cold and flu, or even just burnout. The mind doesn't know everything. The body does. And when we slow down and quiet, that's when we're going to get that information. And the truth is nobody knows you better than you. Nobody knows what you need, how your body is feeling, what's going to benefit you. Not even these doctors and all their protocols and things that put you in boxes. They don't know what's best for you. And that is also a trail into why you chose a different type of therapy over chemotherapy too. Can you talk more about that?
So I was fortunate with the type of cancer that I had, that there was a targeted treatment, Herceptin and Perjeta, which were considered the closest thing to immunotherapy. The difference between immunotherapy and chemotherapy is that chemotherapy just randomly wipes out cells, which causes so much devastation in the body. Immunotherapy works with the immune system and teaches the immune system to identify the cancer cells and kill them. From the beginning, with the seriousness of the cancer that I had, or for anyone else who has this type of cancer, the protocol is, I believe, 4 different types of chemo drugs, followed by, after those are finished, followed by just the targeted treatment. And then the list goes on, radiation, blah, blah, blah. My gut always was that I just wanted the targeted. And I was in the early stages of being afraid. And I remember talking to some people and they said, well, you really need to listen to your doctors. They know what was best. And so the quick story is that I did speak to the oncologist. And by the way, I had the most phenomenal oncologist, and you need to have that in your life, because doctors are an integral part of your healing in terms of knowing that they trust you, that they understand you, and most importantly, that they respect you. And so I talked to her. You know, I was originally going through the chemotherapy. We took out the most potent one, which was carboplatin, knowing that my body was sensitive to toxic chemicals. So after I took my 3-week break before I started treatments, I went in to have the chemotherapy drugs. I started with the first one, whatever it was. And within 10 minutes, I had an allergic reaction. So they stopped it. And the infusion nurses rushed over and they wanted to pump me with all kinds of anti-inflammatories so I could shove more of the drug into my body and make it accept it. And I was really upset. And I said, no. And I was crying. I said, no. And so then they called in the oncologist. She comes up and I said, my body doesn't want these drugs. And you're asking me to pump all of these allergy drugs into me so I can force it. And I was upset. And she looked at me and she said, we will try the immunotherapy on its own. And if it works, we'll see. So I was relieved. I'll just tell you a quick side story that any cancer patient is going to run into. So my family was upset. My boyfriend wouldn't speak to me for 24 hours. He was scared. And they were all scared that this was not what you're supposed to do. And his mother had died of breast cancer, and so it was equally more difficult. And so I remember him calling me the next day and saying, I looked up the chemo drug that you were taking, and he said, I wouldn't give it to my dog. He said, there is a less toxic one out there. And he said, what's causing the allergic reactions is the solvent. He said, there's a less toxic one out there. And when I asked my oncologist, or I don't know if it was her or someone else, she said, yes, we know about that, but the insurance companies won't pay for it. Okay, moving on quickly to the immunotherapy treatments. I started in July, and by December, which is less than 6 months, I had a complete response and everything was gone. And nobody was taking this path. Now, I mean, that being said, because I didn't do a mastectomy, I did have a reoccurrence the following year, and that's a whole nother story. But the point is now is I'm 3.5 years into wellness. And now finally, nothing happens in Western medicine without long, long data and studies. Finally, they've come out with a study that is doing exactly what I'm doing, that they're eliminating the chemotherapy drugs and just doing the immunotherapy for patients like me. That's great, but how many people have died in the meantime?
Yeah, and listening to your body, listening to your gut, you know, rashes are an immune response. They're a histamine response. Yeah. And that's your body going into supercharge, get this stuff out of my system, just showing an immediate sign of discomfort and inflammation. And when we force the body to do something that it doesn't want to do, it's going to push back until it can't and then becomes weakened, which then is going to start another pathology, which is then going to weaken your immune system even more and cause your army that we were trying to build, that we were wanting to build, to be depleted, because you have an internal army and you have an external army. And that internal army is your immune system. That external army comes from everything that you do, that you eat, that you drink, how you sleep, your lifestyle, your stress, all that brings in that other army. And when you have something so strong going in that your body is immediately saying no to, that's a huge red flag to reevaluate.
It is. And they were shocked. The nurses, in fact, I was talking to someone just a few days ago, and she is a small woman and she has a reoccurrence of a serious cancer. I think she had almost 20 years ago. It's almost in the same place. So she was fine for 20 years. And she said, Kelly, it was so awful. She said it was like they pumped it in so hard and it was too much. And I looked at her and I said, did you tell the infusion nurses to turn it off? And she said, oh, I didn't know I could do that. My biggest takeaway, from this talk, which I hope is many things, but the one thing is you have to advocate for yourself. You cannot turn over your healing, your health, your body to your doctors, hold out your vein, say, just give it to me, and take no responsibility for your healing. Yes, you should trust the people that you're working with. And I had a phenomenal team, but you have to ask questions. You have to do your own research. You have to know the after. People die, survive the cancer, but die from the treatment after effects down the road. That's true. And that data is out there. And there's too much trust in just saying, just do it to me. If you're tired, it's a lot to get a cancer diagnosis. It's exhausting emotionally. Then get someone on your team to help you, to ask the right questions. If you want to go down the road of chemotherapy, understand what you're getting into. Don't do this blindly.
Yes. Yes. And the biggest thing, if people are confused at all, like, how do I know, you know, what's going to happen? Like, what if I don't? If you have the type of response that Kelly had, rashes, trouble breathing, restlessness, anxiety after the treatments, heaviness in the limbs, shaking throughout the body, you know, any symptom showing a larger degree of discomfort is cause for reevaluation and a conversation. It is no different than when your doctor gives you an antibiotic and says, okay, just take the whole bottle. Might take you 10 days, but take the whole bottle. And then you're taking the bottle, you're taking the antibiotics, and then all of a sudden you forget to take them. And then you're like, oh, 3 days later, oh, I forgot to take those. Oh, well, you know, and there's a sizable amount left in there. That is your body reminding your mind that it doesn't need the antibiotic anymore. And that is the biggest sign when taking anything. If you forget to take it, your body's not reminding your mind. Your body's like, I'm good. I don't need to send those signals to the brain anymore. So when you have those symptoms of discomfort that are visible signs that are threatening your immune system, the conversation needs to be had.
It does. And I think people are afraid. I think they, if you don't have someone in your life like you, if you don't understand that the body is a miraculous machine that can help heal itself, then you are dependent and you feel like that is the only way you will heal. Now, granted, at the time that I took those treatments, I had a very high tumor load and I needed it, I'm pretty sure, to help bring that down. I mean, it had advanced to a point where I needed help. Because I didn't take chemotherapy, because I didn't make my body sick. And that's the other thing that stuck in my mind. Why do you have to make your body sick to get well? Why aren't we asking that question? That makes no sense. Because the only symptom I had was strong fatigue, and that part was tough, I was able to heal and I was able to think clearly. I was able to eat well. I wasn't vomiting. I could get the right supplements. I could do the acupuncture, the infrared saunas, all of those things. And we'll talk about this in another episode. One of the most important core things in healing cancer is you need to get to the emotional root of it, because cancer is emotionally driven by trauma, by unresolved things that's holding the body. And that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah. Chinese medicine, in our classic texts, we say that the Shen, which is the emotional body, is involved in all diseases.
Yeah.
There are emotions that we suppress, that we repress, and that simmers in us and can create disease and discomfort. And just recently, I had another breast cancer patient who is also a survivor, saw her through her process. She said, I feel so lucky that just recently, my oncologist was able to recommend a psychologist that was through the Cleveland Clinic that was covered by my insurance and is familiar with the type of cancer that I have and what I'm going through. And she was telling me this because she knew that this is a new thing. This hasn't been around for a while. So for the Western community to acknowledge,
yeah, I'm shocked.
that therapists are needed to be involved in this process is huge. And for it to be covered by insurance as well.
Well, and that also brings up another, on the flip side of that, is that when I was questioning some of these physicians along my journey, and I was upset about different things, they wanted to give me a psychiatrist. It's like, I'm upset because I have valid reasons to be upset. But I think they're just so used to like going through the movements. I remember meeting with her and she Googles pictures of people who've had mastectomies. So up on the screen, there's like 50 shots of women without their breasts and scars and like horrific things. And yeah, I was upset. You know, they mean well, but they're not used to people questioning. They're not. And I think things are changing. I know I had a really great conversation with a resident a couple of years ago, and I think they're coming out more with the theories that patients have a say in how they heal. And that's empowering to know.
Yes, it is. It's important to get second and third opinions and
yes,
be with people that you like. You know, they are helping you in your process. And if you're uncomfortable with them or they cause discomfort, then find somebody else because they are a dime a dozen.
Well, and you think about like how, if you have a contractor for your home or you're getting an estimate for your kitchen or whatever else, like you're hiring these physicians, you are paying a lot of money for their time. And if you don't, if it's not a good fit, and I wrote about this in my blog, it's called The Power of a Compassionate Physician. You need that. You have to have that in your journey. It's an integral part of your healing.
Yes.
I was very blessed. I had all the way across, I had wonderful people at the Cleveland Clinic. But I don't think that was an accident. I think that life puts you in touch with the right people. And there was, I believe this was something I was going to go through. And I definitely had a lot of help and guidance in getting to the right people to heal.
Yes, absolutely. I know that people listening are going to want to hear the rest of your story. So you alluded to it a little bit, going through the immunotherapy for 6 months and then being cancer free. So then tell us how the rest of your healing process went.
Well, so there are a couple of things. I was rereading my notes. So I ended my immunotherapy once I found I was cancer free in December, just 5.5 months after I had 4 tumors in stage 3. I was supposed to continue the immunotherapy treatments for a while, for a long time. It was very long. And my gut was like, I'm not doing that. So I did it to a certain amount of time where I felt comfortable. I did not, and this is a core part also, I did not have a mastectomy. And that was like a big deal that you didn't do that. But it was my gut at the time, and I followed it. And because I had a complete response to the treatment, meaning all the tumors were gone, I thought I was going to be okay. So there are a couple factors that I think contributed to the reoccurrence. And in fact, I'll never know the answer. So one of them was that I took on a tremendous amount of stress by taking a job across the country, moving and working as a private educator for a family. It was a stressful job in a lot of ways. It brought up some emotional stuff from my childhood. I was put in a situation that was reminiscent of things that I had lived through before. And it just was a combination of probably a lot of different factors. And maybe it was just never really gone. When I came back, so that would have been the fall, a year later, they found that the cancer had returned. And I remember I was like shamed by one of the doctors who did the biopsy. She's like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And I mean, that was so unnecessary. So they knew there was cancer, but they didn't know how much. So this, I'll try to make the story quick, but it's important. That second round, I think, happened for a reason because it really put me in touch with the theme faith over fear. Because this time, according to the scans, my body was not responding to the Herceptin and Perjeta. It didn't make any sense. The scans are saying one thing, but the breast was, I could feel the difference. The oncologist could feel the difference. But the scans were showing no difference. So my case went up between a tumor board. I had like all these people saying, you've got to take this taken off. You've got to have your breast taken off. And I said, I believe the immunotherapy treatments are working. I'm going to do some more. And then it was the big decision whether to have the surgery. The problem was, is that there was no way to see what was going on unless I took it off because I couldn't prove it was working. The scans showed it wasn't. So that was a decision that was a tough one to make. But for the first time in my life, this is an important part of my story. I understood how it felt to feel powerless. I understood what cancer patients felt because I thought, I'm doing everything I did the last time. I'm eating well. I've taken out all my stress. I'm doing the immunotherapy. What is going on? And my only other alternative was going to be chemotherapy, which I didn't want. So cut to the chase. I have the mastectomy done. They do the findings on the breast afterwards. You know, they dissect it. There was 1 millimeter of cancer in that breast, which is the size of a pencil point. And all the scans showed it was lot and hurry up and do this. And the problem was, is that it had to do with the scar tissue was causing cloudiness. They couldn't read it correctly to the best of their knowledge. And they were, in fairness, they were erring, trying to keep me alive and trying to keep me safe. And their intentions were good. And I have nothing bad to say about that. But the point was that it was working. And again, it was just fear over faith. And it was walking through a really difficult time. And I believe that God put me through that. So I understood what it meant. I've always known, Mallory, from the beginning, that this journey was never, ever about me alone. And I never wanted it to be. I did that path of just taking the immunotherapy because I wanted to help people. I believed that it would work.
You know, at that point in your process, it is a process of deep trust and knowing in your body. And when we are up against something that isn't showing the data, right, where the chances of it coming back even worse are high, you know, yeah, then we do the things that we feel are best for us. And that's the best that we can do. And my question for you is, going through that experience alone in itself, looking back on it, what did you learn?
That you must always trust your gut. And it's very difficult when you are faced with so much fear around you, the people around you. I remember this, one of the doctors, it was a slew of them. She said, you need to take care of this right now. Like, and I know they're coming from the right place. I do. But I knew that I needed to do something differently. I needed to continue those treatments. I needed to get that cancer down so the surgery would be easier, because it's always easier if they can get it down smaller. You don't, when you're cutting off your breast, you don't want to have a huge tumor in there, right? Because the risk of error is too high. You don't want them nicking it or anything else. So I knew I had to continue to get that down small. I did believe it was working. So what I learned was, what's coming to me in my head is, you have to fight. And when I say that, I see a lot of people saying F cancer and this ugliness and I hate this. And look, you're still talking about a piece of your body. Your body created the cancer. Treating it with hate, treating your body with hate, talking to it like that is not compassionate healing. When I say fight, I mean fight in terms of your beliefs, your ideals, your soul.
What you know is true for you.
Yes. Yeah, what you know is true for you. And I'll say this again, it is not easy. And people say, oh, you're so brave. Yes, I was brave, but it was a choice to be brave. And, you know, I'm a former teacher and I always told my students, being brave does not mean you're not scared. It means you're scared and you move forward anyway. And that's how you get braver.
And being brave doesn't mean you do stupid stuff.
No.
Doesn't mean that you like jump, you know, off the bridge. Being brave means that you have gone through this whole process. You've gathered information. You have a lot of evidence of trusting yourself, trusting your intuition, listening to your doctors, listening to alternative methods and processes, and saying, I'm making this based off of an educated decision. And there are so many instances and data on people trusting themselves and it turning out in, you know, a really beautiful and positive way. And so the thing that I've noticed with working with a number of cancer patients is helps you to develop a deeper relationship with yourself. And I believe just watching so many of them go through it, that above all, that is the thing that obtain, if that's even a right word, from it, is they don't abandon themselves and they come in with kindness and they come in with love and ease and possibilities. Because when there is anger behind disease, it's just what you said, it's just going to continue to feed the disease.
It is. And I read a quote, I think it was from Dr. Will Cole, who is, I think he's an integrative doctor through the clinic. And he said, you cannot heal a body you hate. right? And so the most important part of the journey, and there's data on this too, is I always believed that I was going to, I'm going to speak more about the first time around. I always believed that I was going to be okay. And believing in that, it actually does something to the brain, which actually does something to the healing part of the body. I knew it was going to be okay. And one thing I'll never forget, you said, Kelly, you are not a statistic. You will not be a statistic. You are not one. And one thing with cancer is I would not let them read me statistics. And they would ask, they said, do you want to know the survival rate? But I said, no, I don't. Because I don't want that planted in my mind. You have to be really careful of that because the mind is extremely powerful. And I believed I would be okay. That's critical to anyone, I believe, who lives through cancer. And cancer is not, it's not a death sentence all the time. And I think what happens is people get that diagnosis and you immediately go into freeze mode. Someone I know recently is going through a really aggressive, difficult cancer. And she started like, boom. And she said, my mind is spinning.
Yeah. And I advise when you get the news,
yeah,
stop, take a break, integrate it, slow down, take a nap, sleep on it. You don't have to make a decision within that day, within 24 hours, within 48 hours, you just don't, because the chances of things exploding, you know, within 24 hours or even a week after your diagnosis are very minimal. Because we're on the topic, an experience that I had is coming to mind. I just want to share quickly. Sure. I had COVID and I had it really bad. I had a fever of 103.5 for 3 days and I was extremely uncomfortable. I was, of course, hot. I was starting to get delusional. I couldn't eat. I was living by myself and my mom was freaking out and she said, just call an ambulance, go to the hospital. And I said, no, I'm not going. I don't want to, and they're not going to do anything that I don't already know how to do. And that statement just fills my body with certainty, but chills because of the truth that's behind it. And so at any point during your process, if you have a thought and you get chills, that's a sign that you're being led, that that is something that you, I would highly recommend following. I'm in this state where my brain is not working and I'm uncomfortable. And I said, I know what I'm doing works. I texted one of my classmates and I said to him, I said, this is what I'm taking. This is how I'm feeling. Why isn't this working? And he goes, Mallory, everything that you're doing is right. You just need to take 6 times as much as what you were taking. And when I talk about taking things, because not even fever reducers were taking my fever away. They wouldn't even touch it. I said to him, I said, okay. So I went to my kitchen and I think I swallowed 12 pills within maybe 7 minutes. When I talk about pills, I'm talking about herbal medicine. So these are herbs, herbal therapy formulas, rather popular formula. And my body literally was like, bloop, bloop. I had a fever and then I did not have a fever. My brain turned on immediately and I was like, I texted him, I'm better. And he said, okay, stay on that dose for at least another 48 hours. And I did, and the fever cleared. Prior to all that happening, I share this because my mom, my dad, you know, my brother had come over and they're just like, what are you doing? You're alone. Nobody's helping you. You know, you feel like crap. You can't even get up. And I just was like, I can do it. I can handle it.
They should know you by now, Mallory.
I can handle the situation. Well, but you know, when you're in a situation,
well, they're scared. They were scared.
People are scared. I mean, it's just what you're saying.
Yeah. But
the bottom line is I knew.
And I know. Yeah.
There's a stubbornness that comes into play, but there's also a really deep trust and certainty that we have the answers and we can be led and guided and can follow through the process in the way that we want to and the way that our body wants to.
And everything you just said is why I wrote, you were the rock of support for me, because that is empowering what you just said. And it was crucial to my journey.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. You're toughie. Well, you are. And I say that with admiration, but I mean, you're a fervent believer in the power of the body to heal through Chinese medicine, through food, through energetic healing, all of it. And that is, I think the tide is turning. I think, you know, back when I started my journey in 2019, they said the future of, surgeon told me, she said the future of cancer is immunology, and that planted the seed. Problem is, the future takes, you know, 5 years later. I hope that you do see more cancer patients, or cancer patients find an advocate such as yourself. You need a coach, you need somebody outside the Western medicine, because I think healing, for me, it incorporated it all.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about what we did, what you did in the alternative realm. You mentioned the infrared sauna and the acupuncture, but tell us more about what you brought into your healing.
Well, this gets more into the big subject of the emotional healing. So I'll touch on it briefly. There's just alternate modalities to heal. And so I sought out, you were highly recommended. I also did Reiki through another practitioner. And Reiki was a beautiful story in terms of every session. There were people that showed up in the room. Of course, you can't see them, but you know, the person that was working on me would tell me, I mean, one time she said, the room is filled here, like with the spirit world, with the healers, with the people around you. And it was just further indication of that people who, when they leave the earth, they don't leave us, because they were there at my sessions. Again, I couldn't see them, but I would feel them. And I'm just highly intuitive in that way. But all of those sessions with you and with her were about emotional release. And I'll get to the core of that in another session, but it was a lot of anger, held trauma, hard on myself, all of those things. It was a lot of unraveling. And I knew that I would not get fully well until I addressed those issues. And I looked at cancer as an opportunity to do that. I just couldn't go on the way I was going on in terms of little connection and compassion for myself.
Freeing the body from burdens, like we alluded to, that were, you know, put on us by other people or even ourselves, like, is something that creates constraint and constriction in the body. And then when the body is constantly tight, like a rubber band, it's eventually going to pop and break because it can only hold it for so long. And Chinese medicine would easily say that any sort of accumulation in the body, from cancer to tumors to cysts to fibroids, is the body's way of accumulating diseases of the mind, diseases of the emotional and spiritual bodies that, again, we may or may not be aware of. And that's not to say that, you know, if you don't deal with it, like, something bad's going to happen.
No.
But we all have processes that, you know, we're meant to go through. And part of that process is opening up ourselves to be vulnerable to ourselves, to see, you know, what the larger themes are that we can heal. And we worked a lot with anger and fear, you know, and just appreciating the self with you through acupuncture and herbs. And we did a lot of essential oils and stone medicine to also your trust in the ethereal realm, your trust in guides and ancestors and your own intuition and trust in the process.
And God, I mean, there were God, all the way. I mean, there were things when you go through any type of situation like this. And when I talk about emotional healing, I grew up in an alcoholic home with an alcoholic father. And, you know, that there was no physical abuse, but the emotional, the toil of that, the expectations put on myself, the anger, there was a lot of anger. And all of that internalized, you know, as a young child, and I turned a lot against myself, not knowing when you're little. And there were other things that happened as well. It's a bigger subject, but there are things sometimes that are just too big for us to heal. And that's when there's a lot of surrender, and surrender is hard for me. I'm a control person. So you know, want to know the answers. I want to be in control, and surrender is tough. And there are some things that are only fixed by God. And I do believe that a lot of my healing was spiritual, that I had a lot of help. And there is no way that I can sit here and say I did this on my own. You told me once, if I remember correctly, you said you healed because of you, me. Like you said, you healed because of you. Yeah, I did partly, but it was never all me.
And part of you healing because of you is because of your openness to believing in those other ethereal beings being a part of it. And if you had not been open to it, where would we be? We don't know, because you were. And so
I don't know. I think my journey is what my journey was. And when I think about how, like, I was talking to my mom yesterday, I said, how did I even know, like, about food and cancer? I said, and we were talking about it. And I remember now that even years, like 20 years ago, she was talking about macrobiotics and people who had healed from cancer with food. And also she was talking about in World War II, the cancer rates were way down. And there were studies on that because people didn't have access to meat or sugar, you know, in Holland. So I'm thinking, like, the seed was planted way back when, and we're always guided in our paths if we ask for it. And this was all preparation for what I was going to go through. And my hope is that, you know, I can be a voice for others, because the toughest thing in cancer care is, I see it too much, is people are very passive. And you can't be passive. It's your body. And there are decisions that cannot be easily undone. And that's why, like you said, Mallory, you have to take time before you make major decisions about treatments. Understand what you're getting into.
And you, on a scale of 0 to 10, you know, you're a 12 as far Aww. As being the pioneer and, you know, really standing your ground and being certain about the things that were best for you. And so people don't need to go all the way to the degree that you went to. But I mean, we've stressed this so much during this conversation. It's important just to listen to yourself and to advocate for yourself. You are definitely going to be back, because we need to talk about the mental, emotional, and spiritual work that you did, and the importance of unraveling that in our body. And from a Chinese medicine perspective, it is the emotions that are going to guide us towards health, and seeing them front on and healing them is a part of all disease process. So Kelly, it's been such a pleasure to have you. Before I let you go, and very educational to have you too, are there three things that you would leave someone who is just beginning or in the middle or even at the end of their cancer journey, whether it be a similar type or just one that's completely different?
Good question. Number one, trust yourself. Trust your body, listen to yourself always. Number two, you can't eat everything you want. You can't, and you're not going to get that from your medical team. They're not trained in nutrition. It's not their fault. They're just not. They're trained in pathology. They're trained in pharmaceuticals, and that's what they're experts in. And if you're going to have to educate yourself, and we are in a time and place where there are so many resources. Chris Beats Cancer, he's phenomenal. He's on Instagram, his books. There's so many resources out there for you to educate yourself. And number three, believe is this is just coming through me. Believe that there's a higher purpose in what you're going through. If you can look at it in a different lens, you will heal in the way that you need to heal.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for having so much.
And thank you for not becoming a lawyer. I know you were going to go to law school. I'm so grateful that you are part of my life and part of my journey and you were integral. So I hope, thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, we are quite the pair because I knew that I was going to take a stand in a number of issues, but I was guided to go into medicine instead. And I didn't know that I was going to take the stand in a completely different way. So we're quite the pair in that way. And one thing that, you know, we didn't really mention, but you talked a lot about food, food, food. And I want to say that, you know, supplements aren't.
Oh, food. I did take a slew of them, but I took the ones you recommended. I mean, Juice Plus was great.
So many supplements are made in a lab. They're not natural food products. And the process that we went through was like seasonal eating of you're feeling this way, take these supplements. When you take something, you want to know that it's working. You want to feel it in your body. You want to feel what it says that it's going to do on the bottle. And so I just want to stress to people that when we talk about food, we're actually talking about things that grow, things that you chop, things that you cook, things that you chew. Part of this process is minimizing what the body has to process.
Yeah.
From a digestive standpoint, from an immune standpoint, from a lifestyle standpoint. And so less is more in these disease state processes and healing.
And you also let me cheat, which was
yes.
Nice. So I got to do 80-20. I had some cookies. Well, I had the healthy cookies and I was allowed to have one of my favorite bakery croissants, right? Yes. You said 80-20. And I think that's true. Just a balance too about, and you also talked about how you take in food in terms of if you're eating this food and you're fearful about it, then that creates a different emotion in the body. And I want to end with this. And that is that the blog that I created was meant to be a guide, a map for people, for others who are going through this. And I hope there are posts on, there's lots of pictures, there's lots of information. And I did that for a purpose. And I took a hiatus from it for a couple of years, but I'm back. And I meant it to be a resource of healing.
Right. Well, I will have a link to your blog down below. And yes, healing in a way that is helpful and loving to your body, even if that includes having a healthy cookie every day. Kelly, thank you again so much for joining me. I'm so happy that you were willing to share your process with everybody who's listening, and she will be back.
Yay. Thank you so much, Mallory.